Everfree Guardian, Chapter 5, Part 3.
Now then, where could Fluttershy be?
The first thing Nate registered before the pain was a big ball of fluffiness. It's not often that you're hit with a cannonball that's furry, but in this instance he was tackled to the ground by one with two cannonballs on their chest. And while it's sexually appealing, it's not physically, if so they're used as weapons. Nate went skidding across the ground, groaning as Fluttershy'd come out of nowhere. With her on top of him, she quickly scooped up Angel.
Oh my goodness, my little angel, you're okay!
The animal lover hugged the bunny close to her cheek, getting the fuzzy pet to do the same while the human merely groaned beneath them.
Fluttershy, please get off.
The mare blinked her eyes open, seeing that she was straddling her friend. Yiping in surprise and embarrassment, she fluttered up into the air, giving Nate the space that he needed to arise from the dirt. Brushing himself off again, he looked up at Fluttershy as she apologized for tackling him.
No worries, Flutters. So long as you and your assets don't break me, there's no foul. Speaking of which...
He looked around again as ponies were coming out of their homes.
What are you all doing, hiding away in your homes?
Applejack came up next to him. Fuming at her workers, she pressed her hands against her hips.
What were you doing? What were y'all thinking, Sugarcube? Do you know what kind of nasty things that Sakor could have done to you?
Nate blinked beyond his hood, not understanding Applejack's concern. Looking back at Fluttershy, he could see the same scolding glare on her as well.
What are you talking about, boss? Sakor is one of the first people I met when I got here. Knew her ever since I started living in the Everfree.
Both mares gawked at him as he shrugged.
Don't really see what the big deal is about her. If you're all hiding from her, there really was no point. Aside from the spars that she and I have for my training, she's a nice girl. I even have a trading system set up with her the same way I do with Fluttershy.
Nate, do you truly know who Sakura is?
The human turned back to Fluttershy, shrugging again as he answered.
She seems to be just some foreign chemist looking for a new place to settle down. Granted, I wouldn't have chose that side of the Everfree as my first choice, but to each their own.
He eyed the two as Ponyville's residents began to emerge from their homes.
Why, is there something I should know?
Sugarcube, that zebra is pure evil. She curses and places hexes on ponies on a whim. She's so mysterious and sadistic that the populace of Ponyville has whenever she comes into town.
The human rose another eyebrow as he listened to Applejack explain another detail this town supposedly knew about the zebra. Yet another thing that contradicted what Nate knew himself from his personal experiences with Zecora.
I hate to burst your bubble, girls, but Zecora's nothing like that. She's a shut-in, and prefers seclusion, sure, but she's pretty open to new guests and friends. In fact, she's the one who's been teaching me various hand-to-hand techniques to aid in my survival in the Everfree Forest. Not to mention, the brews that she whips up give incredible buffs.
He pulled out one from his pocket, looking over the small vial of bluish-pink liquid before pocketing it. Looking back up at the two, he shook his head.
Speaking of which, what exactly have you seen Zecora done that was so evil? This rumor had to have come from somewhere, after all.
Well, once a month, she comes in a ponytail.
Okay, and...
Applejack and Fluttershy alternated as they listed off things Zecora's been doing while emerging from the forest from time to time. Judging from what he's hearing, this is just a sad, sad case of bigotry. Something Nate wished was never a thing here. But then again, he did demolish a dragon's nest and committed lizard genocide, so he didn't really have room to talk. Shaking his head, he turned back to the things the two mares were saying about his forest friend.
Then she goes lurking by them stalls out in town square.
Okay.
And then she digs at the ground.
Nate opened his mouth to rebuke that, but paused for a moment.
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that I already knew why she was doing that, I would label that off as aberrant behavior.
He shook his head again.
Ugh, nevertheless, you two, this isn't any reason to label her as pure evil. Don't you think you're jumping the gun with this whole bandwagon thing? You are the elements of kindness and honesty, right? Why get involved and absorbed in a gossip when you could just meet her and find out what she's really like?
He pointed his thumb towards the reopened stalls.
I mean, for shit's sake, she could be actually shopping at these stalls rather than lurking. You ever think of that?
He sighed as the two shared a glance with each other.
Look, I get that differences in something out of the normality here may cause issues here and there, but you shouldn't be afraid just because she's different. That's actually pretty low of you. After all, I'm not a pony and I live out in the Everfree. What's the difference between Sakura and I?
Applejack opened her mouth to answer, but was stopped when he held up a hand.
My point is, you should give that zebra a chance the next time you see her. That's all I'm saying. Do this one favor for me and get to know her as you should.
He turned his eye past them, seeing others approaching them in the distance. Fluttershy and Applejack turned when they were called, Twilight approaching with the others still talking about Sakura. When they turned back, Nate was gone. Fluttershy looked around for her human friend, swiveling several times as the others were preoccupied with their debate about the zebra. Applejack, knowing the human, had disappeared and retreated back to the forest, sighing as she placed a hand on the cream-colored Pegasus's shoulder.
Give him time, Sugarcube. He'll come back around eventually. Today just ain't that day. Oh, I hope so. I can't imagine what it's like having only a few friends or no friends at all. It just seems so lonely. We don't know how Wiscont operates, Fluttershy. Maybe they fancy deeper connections forged with fewer ponies. It lets them grow close, just like we have with him.
She shook her head as she fixed her Stetson hat.
I reckon that mess with Gilded didn't exactly paint pony or griffin kind in good light either, so all we can do is just wait at this point.
The Pegasus's ears fell as she rubbed her arm, half of her face hidden by her mane. Sighing and turning to the others, Twilight inquired where the Everfree Guardian went, only to be disappointed when she was told that he went back to the Everfree Forest. Turns out, he wasn't the only one.
Hey, where's Applebloom?
The next day after Sakura came to town was interesting, to say the least. It started out roughly the same as the last. The sun was shining, and the birds were out singing their happy tune. So what went wrong this time? Well, for starters, one human was laughing himself into a hernia. Hanging onto the sill of Fluttershy's window, Nate was nearly wheezing and hacking from the state of hilarity that he was in. Standing in front of him were his two friends, both of which having called upon him to visit after he came out of the Everfree Forest this morning. When he got inside, he was not prepared for what he found. Applejack was tiny, like fucking Eminem kinda tiny, and Fluttershy's voice was the exact opposite of what he would affiliate her character with. If anything, she sounded like goddamn Big Macintosh now, and he was loving every second of it.
Celestia, dang it, Nathan Schmidt, this ain't no time for laughing!
Yes, it is!
He nearly toppled over as the little Applejack was fuming at him. Fluttershy never said a single word after she demonstrated what she sounded like. Never before had the two seen the human like this, and granted it had been a long time since Nate had a good laugh like this. For the longest of years, Nate had always been the hardened, cold-blooded survivor, killing on necessity and vengeance in one world and killing in another just to survive. But even so, he was still human, and he wasn't exempt from the other basic human traits. So, when he was laughing his ass off over the fate of his two friends, this found the two looking just as surprised as his thoughts. Smacking the sill twice, he took a few breaths to calm himself down, panting as he got a grip on himself.
Oh my god! Oh my god, that's too much!
He wiped a few tears away as he saw Fluttershy deadpanning at him.
Hey, screw you, this is funny!
He chuckled a few more times before turning down to Applejack.
What the hell even happened to you two anyways?
Feeling as though Applejack wouldn't be as descriptive with what occurred after he left yesterday, Fluttershy stepped forward.
We went after Applebloom when we realized that she was heading into the Everfree Forest after Zecora. When we found her, we were in a batch of strange blue flowers.
Nate snickered at Fluttershy's voice, but shook it off as he hummed and thought.
Blue flowers? Were they glowing?
A bit.
Sounds like you two got infected with something.
Not just us!
Applejack pointed towards the towering window.
The damn zebra cursed us all! Twilight, Rainbow Dash, Pinky, Rarity, all of us!
Nate rolled his eyes as he walked up next to the table Applejack was standing on.
I doubt it, Applejack. Sakura isn't a witch. She's a chemist, sure, so doing some experimental potion brewing to procure these effects is a viable conclusion, but an unlikely one. Sakura's brews are often nothing more than just simple inhibitors or potions.
He rolled his wrist as he leaned against the wall.
You two probably had some sort of reaction from that plant that you were talking about, Flutters. You have to remember just how unpredictable and unstable the Everfree Forest is.
I suppose that's true.
And if that's the case, Sakura may be your only saving grace here. Her potions can probably revert these effects if she whips up the correct blend.
Now hold on a minute, you're saying that we should go get help from her? Are you out of your mind?
Nate glared down at her, the shadows lessening and allowing Applejack to see his face from below. His stare was cold, dead, and irritated, a mix that startled the bite-sized mare.
I lost myself a long time ago, Applejack, but it seems I'm the only one around here who's willing to see the situation as it is, not what I want it to be.
He snapped his fingers in front of her, her tiny figure staggering back from the loud clap in her ears. She covered them as she looked up at him.
Open your eyes and wake up from your delusions, boss. Given the situation and your purple friend's magic not working right now, you're out of options. Sakura's your best bet in getting back to normal, so if I were you, I'd bite my tongue and deal with it.
Applejack scowled at Nate, her frown deeply ingrained in her face as she disliked being scolded or berated by her own worker. Clenching her fists, she took a breath and let out a low groan.
Fine. So where are we heading?
He picked up Applejack, placing her on Fluttershy's shoulder.
You two are staying here. I need to make sure that none of your friends go rushing into the Everfree blinds. I'll have enough on my plate without having to worry about any of you trying to get yourselves killed. That and Zecora will breach a lot better to a friendlier face than a bunch of bigots trying to bust down her door.
That last comment stung Fluttershy, as she could hear the disappointment and disgust in his voice. Shifting in place, she muttered to him as they turned to leave.
Thank you.
He glared back from the doorway as he reached it.
Don't thank me for this, Fluttershy. By the end of it all, it'll be Zecora that you owe your thanks to, and an apology too.
With that, he left, taking the journey into the dangerous woods once again. He didn't get far before he could hear the predators of the forest snarling in warning to his entry. Returning to his silent, untrusting, and ruthless self that he was without the presence of ponies like the Apples, Fluttershy, or even Zecora, the stoic human ignored all that told him to turn away. In fact, the snarling was a welcome to him. His crazed half of his subconscious festered with a ceaseless bloodlust, a targeted frenzy gauging to the wicked and evil, and this force was an amalgamation of both in its entirety. Taking out a shotgun, he racked the chamber as he progressed forward, disappearing into the shadows of the canopy. For some reason, I didn't expect any of that, even though it was in the prior background of my mind. Either way, that was fun, though. Now let's get on to our joyful donators. Top donators are 630, Peter Coldhard, J10Man, Darkside, and Only One Thing. Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Rollins, CrazyGiller557, Stu Hex, Sword Brother and Mordred, Omicron Library, Will Chris, Twinkie, Hutzalza, Dospo, and many more fantastic people. Thank you all so much for watching this video and live life to the fullest.